This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. And, of course, I am guest hosting for the day. It's a gorgeous Wednesday. My name is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial, broadcasting to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I'm always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. We've got a great show lined up for you this afternoon. My good friend, my great friend, actually, Michael Campina is on the line with us. He is a journalist. He's a photographer. He freelances for the Charleston City Paper and the Pulitzer Prize winning Post and Courier. You can get him at www.michaelcampina.com. That's C-A-M-P-I-N-A.com. You can get him on Facebook at Michael Campina Photographs. And we're here today. We're going to talk a little bit about Antifa because he was at one of the Confederate monument protests. There was one in Charlottesville and there was also one in Charleston, and they're sort of calling it Charlottesville Light. But he actually got in the middle of he got into the thick of it, got some really, really great photographs. We're going to put it in the liner notes below. But he has a little bit of insight because we both grew up in South Florida together. And as all of you know, and of course Mike knows, I'm a non-disabled, straight, cis white male, which means I was born as a life form lower than the kind of microbial scum that you might find on your toilet seat. But my good friend Mike Campina, however, is a non-disabled, straight, cis Latino male. So he is also scum, but slightly less scummy than I am. We both grew up in multicultural, diverse South Florida, Miami, Florida, a sanctuary city. But since I am a cis white male, I can't talk about race. And I just wanted to bring Mike onto the show because since he's a different race than I, he can actually talk about race. And we can actually get to the bottom of this whole race thing. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. That was great.
It's awesome to have you. So one of the first things that we're going to talk a little bit about Antifa, we're going to talk a little bit about the white nationalists, we're going to talk about the Confederate monuments. But first, I just want to talk a little bit about what it was like for you growing up in Miami, Florida, as far as race, concerning race and racial harmony and social harmony. What was it like growing up in Miami as a Latino, and how aware were you that all non-disabled, straight, cis white men are racist, bigots, sexist, homophobes?
Oh, Miami. Well, growing up in Miami was definitely a unique situation, like anybody's hometown would be to them, but there were some things that made it special. And my unique experience with race and being Latino actually goes a level even deeper because I don't look Latino, actually.
Right. Campina. Michael Campina.
Didn't you ask me one time if I was adopted?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, like, growing up in multicultural South Florida and me being in a family that was blended and, you know, the thing about Latinos is that, you know, you can be every shade of skin color.
Right.
You know, and all be living in the same house and all be direct blood relatives.
Right.
You know. And that was something that I think I took for granted before I finally made my way into the actual American South. My last job in Miami before I left, I was working for the Miami New Times. And our department was all Latinos, female and three men. And in that department itself, even though we were all Hispanic, I was the lightest shade. Our boss was the darkest, and Andrea, she was kind of like a cafe con leche. Shout out to my Miami people. And my boy George was also a mixed race Latino because he has some German blood in him. And really, it wasn't a big deal. One of my one of my nicknames in Miami is Ghost Pepper. Ghost Pepper, given to me by my colleagues at the Miami New Times, because I'm white and spicy, according to them.
White and spicy.
White and spicy. So Ghost Pepper. And those are the kind of things that we say to each other, where we openly acknowledge the color of our skin. And it's actually seen as an enjoyable conversation, something to laugh about, kick around, you know, just everyday talk. I never thought that Miami was a sophisticated town about anything. I mean, it's a metropolitan city for sure, but I never thought there was anything overly sophisticated about it compared to any other big city or medium-sized city until the race issue became so in my face these days.
Right.
And I realized that without really even knowing it, you know, the people that I associated with on a regular basis were pretty sophisticated on the whole concept of race. Nobody really cared at all. I mean, as a matter of fact, if you make an issue about race in a place like Miami, it's kind of suicidal. I mean, you have every culture on the planet there.
Right.
You know, you run into Russians and Eastern Europeans and Brazilians and French people and, you know, Arabs and, you know, is it okay to say Arab?
Yes. On this show, it is okay to say Arab, but just not okay to say the F word.
And that's the problem. I never had to worry about that before, really. And it was okay, you know. We would use words with each other to describe the way we looked and where we came from. And another layer of being Hispanic, it's just so nitty, is that all the different cultures within the region are all extremely antagonistic to each other in a loving way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, every country has its own take on the language. They have their own slang. They have their own customs, their own food. We don't all eat tacos.
You know,
and it's really offensive to some people to be called another race, which you're not. Go ahead.
You know what's funny about South Florida? South Florida is just the one place where everyone is equally kind of douchey. You know,
yeah.
Everyone is a little bit, you know, there's prejudices that go on everywhere in the world. But of course, Miami is such a culturally diverse place that, you know, I mean, you're going to find your little enclaves, and you're not going to find one race that's more like racist than the other.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just the kind. But you know what I've actually noticed in fact is that a lot of the Latino community, they're very judgmental. And in fact, you know, we've got a quick hard break coming up. But you know, one of the things that you mentioned was that among the Latino community, there's light skin, there's dark skin, and today that actually has ramifications with intersectional feminism, because if you have lighter skin, then you are more privileged. And we're going to talk a little bit about that when we get back. We'll be right back. Get me at Shaq General on Twitter.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177. Or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
Beth Cook Moranville, author of Closer Than Your Breath, A Book of Hope.
Hope, that wonderful, wonderful four-letter word that you may feel completely out of. I wrote this book to give you great hope. It's not too late. If fetal position is an all-too-familiar place for you, I understand. If the next 60 seconds are too long, this book is for you. Wherever you are right now, whether you're dealing with divorce or death or sickness, take hope. You are going to make it through this pain. Don't roll your eyes. I've walked this road and I know it. the best is yet to come.
Closer Than Your Breath, a book of hope from author and speaker Beth Cook Moranville, can be found on Amazon.com or Kindle.com. For more information, visit CloserThanYourBreath.com or on Facebook at Closer Than Your Breath.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when your identity is hacked, it's a nightmare. Hi everyone, Paul with Liberty ID. Did you know that children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Is your family prepared? Identity monitoring will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does. Here's an exciting offer for listeners to this station. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. That's right, $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. Prepare your family for less than half what other companies charge for only monitoring. LibertyID.com, promo code free trial. LibertyID.com, the name in identity theft restoration.
Are you one of the 15 million men who suffer from an enlarged prostate? If your life revolves around finding the closest bathroom, if you're tired of waking up any times of night to urinate, then you need to know about Prostate Miracle. Prostate Miracle contains beta-cytosterol, which is 3,000 times stronger than salt palmetto. To claim your $10 Patriot discount, go to ProstateMiracle.com and enter promo code PATRIOT. Or call 877-965-2140. That's 877-965-2140.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the disgruntled millennial portion of the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. I am Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial, broadcasting to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I'm always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. We are here today with Michael Campina, a photographer who was on ground zero of the Charleston anti-Confederate monument rally, the white nationalists versus the Antifa folks, which to me looks like a bunch of socialists duking it out with each other. I don't like any of them. But we are here today with Michael Campina. He is a photographer in Charleston. He was just telling us about basically one of the things that he didn't even realize growing up, which is that, you know, people have light skin privilege, dark skin privilege. You know, there's different kinds of Latinos all around South Florida and, of course, all around the country. But growing up, until race and color and all this became a big deal again, it didn't really peak its ugly head. Let me ask you something, Mike. What was it like moving to Charleston? Was it a culture shock?
No. It should have been. I did spend some summers, full disclosure, in Beaufort. My uncle was stationed at Paris Island. He's a Marine, Semper Fi. And I would go visit him and my aunt. I'd visit them and spend summers. It's about an hour and a half from here. Yeah, I mean, at the time growing up, it was very different for me to come out to such a slow pace. But I think after, you know, 30 some odd years of the, you know, Miami style of living, the nightlife, it was a welcome change.
Right.
Southern hospitality is a real thing. And I like it, to be honest.
Yeah. Did you, I mean, because what they say, because of course all these states are, you know, they call these Republican states the flyover states, the states that, you know, they don't really matter. They don't really represent mainstream America. And a lot of these smaller communities, these slower paced communities get pinned as being these, you know, they're just a bunch of redneck racists. Did you notice a lot of racism when you moved to Charleston?
I started to really pick up on something different from where I'm from when I started to see all the Confederate flags everywhere. And it's not very obvious at first. I had moved here a year after they took the flag down from, forgive me for not knowing, but it was over the State House. I'm sorry. I don't recall right away, but it was, it's big in the national news, and I think it was the first state to really start to, you know, call attention to this controversy over the flag.
Right.
And they brought it down, and it was met with a lot of controversy, but it was also met with a lot of applause. And so I think that there has been lately this move to kind of start to, you know, take away some of these symbols. It's not very apparent, you know, in the downtown areas, or but once you start getting out into the plantation areas, you know, where the big old houses are, and you'd be surprised how many flags you will see.
What's your take on the whole Confederate flag? Because I know moving from South Florida, you know, you grew up in the public school system in South Florida. It's very, very progressive. It's very, very liberal. You know, the Nazis, you're taught as though they are these right-wing, extreme right-wingers, when in fact, you know, the Z in Nazi stands for socialist, which is a left-wing philosophy. But, you know, you're taught that, you know, communism was sort of brushed under the rug, even though 200 million people died as a result of communism in the 20th century. But Nazism is the big sort of kahuna when it comes to teaching about the evil that happened in the 20th century. And these days, Nazism is a sort of Nazism and the Confederate flag are sort of grouped into one big whole sort of right wing philosophy that liberals can use to sort of bludgeon folks with. Now, when you're taught that in South Florida, it's, you know, you're taught that the Confederate flag is equal to racism. If you fly a Confederate flag, there's nothing about the tradition. There's nothing about states' rights. They don't teach you about states' rights in liberal education when it comes to the Confederate flag. But do you think that the Confederate flag is synonymous with racism? Like, for example, if someone flies a Confederate flag, can you be absolutely sure that that person is a racist?
No, you can't. And this is where it gets really dicey. You really can't generalize, especially about something that's so delicate, and the ramifications of being branded a racist are so devastating to career and reputation. I mean, I think that there are certain cultural nuances that may not be understood to a lot of people. Certainly, I don't understand a lot of them. But I reject the idea of wholesale removing someone's right to, you know, honor or you know, cherish or remember anything that they value as part of their history. And that's probably where the biggest problem in the national discourse is going, is that if it's vote to be against something, it doesn't matter if you have a right to express yourself. You just shut down and you're just not allowed to speak anymore. That's not Right. That's not what I remember growing up learning about the idea of freedom of speech.
Right. You know? It's kind of ironic that these folks who say that they're, you know, that they're trying to support the American way. It's not, it's un-American to have, it's a rebel flag, to wave the Confederate flag. It's a rebel flag. Then in the next breath, they want to shut it down, which is basically shutting down your free speech, which is a quintessential fundamental aspect of what it means to be an American, to embody and embrace the American way. Per se. So, you know, I mean, to me, the hypocrisy is absolutely blaring. Now, you were at a rally recently, which was a rally to preserve some of the Confederate monuments. And as we both know, in Charlottesville, someone was killed during one of these rallies. What was the tone like in when you got to the rally and started taking pictures? And what was the difference between the two sides, the Antifa side and the white nationalist side?
Well, that was interesting. That week we had experienced the nightmare that happened in Charlottesville, and it was a citywide thing. And that sentiment, that energy, started to kind of bleed into other southern cities, and Charleston kind of picked up where kind of Charlottesville left off, but it didn't pick up in the same fashion. There's something really unique about Charleston. It's a very slow town. It's a very polite town. I think that this town is too polite to riot. I might be wrong. But,
well, they have these Antifa people shipped in. You know, those, a lot of the anti white protesters are there. You know, the Antifa protesters, they're there because they're being bussed in. There's a lot of Craigslist ads that are basically like, oh, come on out for $15 an hour and show your support, you know. Paid protesters. I mean, that's not really in the spirit of a protest, but, you know, I mean, if violence does break out, I would presume that these people are shipped in, bussed in, and, you know, sort of probably a part of some big George Soros scheme to basically pad the numbers, to increase the numbers of the protesters. We're going to talk a little bit more about this when we get back. Get me at Shaq General on Twitter.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, they'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-963-4946. Even better, call right now and you can get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over a million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning into the Kevin Jackson Radio Show, and of course, I'm guest hosting for the great Kevin Jackson while he is away, triggering lefties all around the country. This time, he'll be triggering lefties in New York. He's going to be on some morning shows. He's going to be on some radio shows, and I am holding down the fort in his stead. We are now talking with my great friend and great and good buddy, very, very talented photographer who lives in Charleston, where basically the Charlottesville Light protests are happening. I mean, these Confederate monuments are littered all around the South. And, of course, you know, I mean, funny thing that the left is deciding to do this now. Why now? I mean, doesn't it seem so stupid? Doesn't it seem like they're wasting all of their political capital on something that's just kind of basic? It's a little bit boring, if you ask me. I mean, why now? Why not when Obama was president? Why not when Bill Clinton was president? Why not when Jimmy Carter was president? I don't get it. But anyway, we're here with Mike Campina. He's a photographer. He's going to tell us what it was like on the ground, ground zero of the Charleston protest and rally to basically preserve and to destroy and move the Confederate monuments. Mike, tell us a little bit about what it was like on the ground.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know what to expect. You don't really know what to expect a lot of times when these things happen so quickly and you're rushing onto a scene. It was a modest group. There wasn't a whole lot of people, I got to be honest. They were gathering together. They were rallying around the idea of removing the statue, the monument to John C. Calhoun, who is known for being a proponent of slavery and his theories on politics heavily influenced the secession from the Union. And so these, what I saw would look like more like a few dozen local students, known activists in the city, coming together and kind of rallying around the statue, calling for the removal of the Heritage Act, which, if I'm not mistaken, they have to repeal that to get an open discourse on actually taking the statues down. So there are some legals that they have to go through before they can take these statues down, not like the way some of them have been ripped to the ground. And so that's one thing about Charleston that's very commendable, is that, you know, I do find that it's a city that respects itself and wants to do things the right way as much as it can. The opposition to this I guess what some would call the left, was a much smaller group, actually. There were about two guys.
Before you go on, how many people were in the on the white nationalist side, the Nazis in the party?
I'm going to say there was a 50 plus.
50 plus Nazis. 50 plus. Wow, wow. This is an amazing, catastrophic, amazing, incredible number. I mean...
Oh, wait, hold on. No. I mean, are you talking about the...
The people who were defending the monuments.
Oh yeah, no. There was only like two or three guys in the crowd, and then there was probably five or six off in the distance, kind of dressed in some military fatigue, you know, looking a little intimidating, or maybe that's just how they dress every day.
But all right, yeah, that's good. But the way the left makes it seem is that like the South is swarming with these rabid racists that just want to string up. They want to bring back lynching. They want to bring back, you know, segregation. They want to bring back Jim Crow. And, oh, my God, some of them even want to bring back slavery. And that this, not just that there are these radical people there, but that the South is swarming with them. And then they're so rabid that they're all going to show up to these rallies to, you know, like... Was that really the case? Is it really the case that Charleston is this awful, terrible, racist place? Or, I mean, did it seem like there were other motives other than racism, I guess, is what I'm getting at?
No, I mean, I don't see a lot of it. I mean, I know that if you ask a black American who's been living here their whole life, they probably have plenty to tell. Probably plenty of stories to tell from their grandparents, too. But as an outsider looking in and as a journalist who meets all walks of life every week, there is a kind of like a sour note in the air, you know, between the races, but nothing any different than I experienced growing up in Miami. I mean, you know, it's a national shame
right.
that we have.
So essentially breaking it down, what you're saying is that growing up in multicultural sanctuary city Miami, you didn't really experience more or less racism than in the deep South, Charleston, South Carolina, the home of slavery, Jim Crow, and... You know, all the stuff that we hate.
Not necessarily. And you know, I think it's an interesting point to make, not defending anybody or any side. But, you know, this rally took place a block away from where the Emmanuel 9 shooting took place a couple years ago. And that young man, I'm not going to say his name, was a sick person. He was a sick person. And he attached himself to an ideology on the fringe of mental reasoning.
Right.
Which is what a lot of sick people do. You know, and I saw the Vice clip that was shot in Charlottesville, and it was very telling, and it was an amazing piece of documentation. And it was very shameful to see these young white men being so open about, you know, their ignorance, you know, they were trying to be intimidating, I think, in some ways. But the guy who killed that young woman was mentally ill.
Right.
He was mentally ill, and he attached himself to fringe ideas to satisfy his murderous thirst, really.
Right.
So it's when somebody crazy wearing your team shirt does something insane, unfortunately everybody on that team gets called insane. But that's not constructive to the overall dialogue, you know.
Right, right. Well, I mean, what the left wants to do is they want to pin the entire group of conservatives on the actions of a very few mentally ill people, and basically sort of negate the fact that they're dismissing the entire ideology in the first place. Now, a few months ago, Steve Scalise was shot in the leg, and he was in critical condition for a while because of some deranged Bernie Sanders supporter. And most of the conservatives that I know didn't go out saying, well, Bernie Sanders is inciting violence. And that's one of the things that you hear a lot. Donald Trump is inciting violence. Jeff Sessions is inciting violence. It's just a matter of time until the gays are taken away and the blacks are put back in chains. And even Joe Biden just a few years ago said, the conservatives, they want to put you all back in chains. Absolutely ridiculous scare. I mean, they call us the scaremongers. But even when a conservative was shot in the leg by a deranged Bernie bro, most of us came out and said, okay, you know, yes, the leftist philosophy does promote violence, but Bernie Sanders himself didn't promote violence, and he didn't himself call out for violence. To me, that's one of the distinguishing differences of the two different sides. Did you see that manifest while you were there at the protest?
Did I see? I didn't see a lot manifest. What I saw was several dozen young college students and very upset, mostly white young people, sharing a megaphone, calling for the removal of the statue, and sharing stories. This went on for about an hour, and finally, the two or three guys from the Secessionist Party who were wearing their rebel flag shirts, you know, one of them says something to the effect of, like, I'm a proud descendant of a southern hero or something like that. I don't know, the kind of stuff you buy in a gift shop. You know, just really right. Just silly stuff. And, like, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, these guys were, you know, filming it with their iPhones or whatever they had. And, you know, after hearing, you know, one side talk for a long time, I'm very centrist in my ways of being. I like to hear all sides, even if it's unpleasant. And I was kind of eager to hear what the Secessionist Party had to say. I mean, I really wanted to hear it. I mean, not that I would agree with it or anything. I just was curious. I heard one side talk for long enough. And, you know, I was ready to hear the other side. And so one of the two or three guys that actually had the courage to kind of be in the crowd started to speak up. And I was very disappointed when that crowd just booed him and cursed him out and screamed at him and catcalled him. And he tried a couple times. I got to say, he was trying to keep his composure. It reminds me of my military uncle who just, like, you know, won't lose his cool. He'll just keep on talking until he realizes there's just nothing he can say. You know, and...
Right. So the white supremacists, the nasty, awful, terrible racists people got up there to speak some, you know, general, some whatever they wanted to speak, and the Antifa folks wouldn't let them talk. The Antifa folks mostly being a bunch of white folks, basically, was what you're saying.
Yeah, it was disappointing. It was disappointing because I got to see what exactly is wrong with the way we treat each other now and why nothing works.
And we're going to talk just a little bit about that when we come back. Yeah. We got a hard break coming up. Get me at Shaq General. We're talking with Mike Campina. We will be right back.
Kevin Jackson on the Black Sphere Radio Network.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177. Or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Putting an end to identity politics.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. And, of course, I am Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial, broadcasting to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I am always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggression, sexism, homophobia, and patriarchy. And let's not forget your toxic masculinity. We are here with Michael Campina, a photographer who is on grounds, in Ground Zero at the Charleston Confederate rally where white supremacists and Antifa, about 50 of each of them, were having it out. We keep on hearing about how the South is this awful, terrible, racist place where racists and KKK are just swarming around trying to lynch black people and bring back Jim Crow and bring back slavery. But unfortunately, this Charleston rally was a little bit anticlimactic in that way. There weren't droves and parades of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of white supremacists. It was really just a bunch of people, you know, a small little bunch of people who were just making a bunch of noise on a certain day. So, Michael, let's talk about the difference between Antifa and the white nationalists. What were the speeches like, and what were the responses like?
All right, so I have to correct you here for a moment. I'm sorry. There was about 50 on the left, if we're going to call them left, and about 3 on the right.
Oh my God. So, in other words, there were about 3 white nationalists there. Okay. The left is, you would think that there was about 3 million, considering how insane the left is going over this stuff.
And we'd have to be even more fair, I think, and just say that they are members of the Secessionist Party or sympathetic towards having ancestors who lived in the antebellum South and fought for a cause that they believe in. And I guess it's their right to believe in whatever they want, I guess.
Right. You Not know? Necessarily racist. I mean, like I said earlier, these could have been 3 guys who just want states' rights and want their independence and want staunch independence. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe it was nothing racially motivated whatsoever. But in that vein, let's continue.
Yeah. So, as far as that day went, you know, most of my colleagues would be considered left-leaning. Or progressive or whatever, and I love my people. Most people assume that I'm left-leaning because of the nature of my work and, you know, certain views that I have on life, but I'm rather kind of the person that just, whatever makes sense, I go with that. You know,
right.
If somebody on the right makes sense, then cool, let's go with that. If somebody on the left makes sense, ideology, I feel like, is destructive for the overall dialogue. And, you know, I really, really, really wanted to get into what my young, you know, passionate anti-monument protesters were getting into. But there came a point where I just didn't understand what we were talking about.
Well, what were the anti-monument protesters even talking about during their speeches? What were the points of view that they were trying to bring across? Were they just basing everything on emotion, or were they citing statistics about how Confederate monuments increase racially motivated crimes? Or what was it? Was it just them just on a microphone just screaming bigot, racist, homophobes? Like what was it?
It was more like the latter. It was, they were sharing a megaphone. So anybody who wanted to share their thoughts, and people would come up and they basically just share anecdotes. You know, one kid talked about how his father, a black kid, talked about how his grandfather, I'm sorry, was pinned down by a bunch of white guys in his youth and poured hot water on his head. And he had forever had scars on the back of his head where he couldn't grow hair. And he told that to his grandson his whole life to not forget that. Things like that. You know what I mean? And, you know, it almost felt like a cathartic release, you know, for a community of people who maybe have not had enough open dialogue over the years, and this was just like a forum for everybody to just kind of tell their truth. I did kind of wonder where some of the hysteria was coming from. One lady in particular, don't quite understand where she was going with the whole thing, but apparently a relative of hers was a judge at the trial of a man named Robert Smalls. Now, Robert Smalls was a slave who captured a Confederate ship and tried to go to freedom. He later went on to do great things with his life, you know, be political. But during his trial, her great-great-grandfather tried to work against him, you know, try to convict him for his crimes. And so she was there to apologize for her great-grandfather. And I don't understand why. Why the guilt?
Right.
I mean, that part I just don't quite understand yet.
Let me explain this to you a little bit. It's a part of this whole white privilege slash white guilt culture where we are white people, if you have lighter skin, even not even just white people, anyone who has lighter skin, you can have a black person with lighter skin and they have light skin privilege. The whole point is the closer you are to being white, the closer you are to being guilty. And if you have that kind of guilt where you have this white skin, so for example, these, you know, this person's grandparent tried to prosecute the slave. You know, like, it's just this collectivist mindset where you are responsible for someone else's actions. If you eat a bowl of soup, another person doesn't get full. If you eat a bowl of stew, another person doesn't get full. If another person eats a bowl of stew, you don't get full. This is why collectivism is essentially and fundamentally wrong. You can only be responsible for your own actions. And what you're saying is that this Antifa person was basically trying to apologize for her grandparents. You know, it's like holding somebody responsible for actions that they didn't do. And the part of white guilt that really makes me upset is that people who generally have good intentions and want to make the world a better place are brainwashed into thinking that they need to apologize for things that they didn't even do, that were a part of a time that they had no responsibility for. They did not start slavery. This girl did not hold slaves. She did not. She's not a racist, presumably. I mean, it sounds to me like even though she's white, she doesn't really like white people. But presumably she's not a racist, you know? So why is she apologizing for the actions of someone else?
You know, I think it's a great question. And for me, it makes more sense. I certainly do not want to be responsible for anything my ancestors did. God knows that.
There were probably a bunch of conquistadors that, you know, impaled their enemies. And
yes.
You know,
I have family that comes from Spain, apparently. And, you know, I can't even imagine what they must have done to the poor Native Americans when they got over here. And I'm certainly not going to apologize for it. You know, like, I'm a product of that. You know, like, I can't do anything about it.
Right. And I don't think you should. And I don't think any rational person would hold you responsible for what the conquistadors did. I live very close to St. Augustine, and I always go to this fort. I play some music out at this fort. It's the oldest fort in Florida. It was one of the first ones to be put there by the conquistadors. It's this amazing, big, beautiful rock. And every time I look at it, I think some Spanish conquistador is about to walk out of it and impale me. And it's just this awesome, amazing feeling, you know, being surrounded by the oldest place in America. But I don't walk around to the next Latino person and think to the next Spanish person and say and look at them with terror in my eyes, thinking that they are going to impale me. That's just not how history. That's just not how history works. So, you know, I mean, to me, it seems like it seems out of line, even because, you know, this person who was probably shipped in on some bus basically came into this community that they probably don't even live in and started telling everybody who lives there what to do and how to feel and what to think. And it's really, really unfortunate. What were some of the reactions from the anti-Antifa folks, the three rabid racists who were there in that day, you know, like the three, not 3 million, everyone, like the left wants you to believe, three. What were they, what happened when they started speaking?
Well, first, I will never impale you.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. and I won't Jew you out, I promise.
Yes, thank you. That would be great. I wish I would have heard more. You know, I did see something positive happen at the end.
Why didn't you hear more though? Were there?
Oh man, it was pretty unfortunate. You know, protests and rallies for me are the most basic building block of freedom of speech and letting the establishment know that things are not okay. And I think it's a really great American tradition. But it doesn't work if you're going to be as bad as the side that you're fighting against. You know, and if you hate someone for being intolerant and you don't tolerate their views, it's a zero-sum game.
Right.
You know, somebody's got to be the bigger person.
That's intolerant.
It is.
Being intolerant of intolerance is intolerance, by definition. We've got a quick break coming up. We will be right back. You can get me at Shaq General. We will be right back with Mike Campina.
He won't won't stop until he's the top-rated radio talk show host in America.
What kind of weird competitive freak are you?
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.